righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. And then from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus speaking of the end times, the 21st chapter. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told him a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. And may God bless this reading and hearing of this holy word. Well, here we are on the edge of the Christmas season. Christmas decorations have been in stores since Halloween. I'm starting to hear Christmas music now on the radio and in the stores. Black Friday has come and gone. At home, we've put up the tree. And I've even ordered a small fishing vest for our grandson. Christmas is in the air. And so we come to church, perhaps expecting more of what our culture is already offering: good feelings and a festive spirit. But what do we get? There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth distress among nations. People will faint from fear and foreboding. We get a scripture filled with frightening images and confusing metaphors. It all seems so out of touch with this season of good feelings. What happened to the smiling Mary and the cooing baby Jesus? Instead, on this first Sunday of Advent, we meet a rather stern adult Jesus who speaks of the entire universe being shaken and turned upside down. A colleague once told me about a greeting card she had received. Inside the card was a cat offering the card's recipient a gesture of love. In its paws, it held a heart-shaped hairball. Well, maybe is that what we're getting in this text? Kind of a hairball of a scripture in the midst of a festive season? You know, where's the good news here? What could Jesus possibly be talking about with these words? And why do we have to deal with it now, just four Sundays before Christmas? Certainly no city sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style in this text. And maybe that's the point. Now, what we have here is apocalyptic literature. Highly charged, metaphorical, and vividly symbolic literature dealing with the end time. the end of the old, the beginning of the new, with images of great calamities along the way. And many preachers, this one included, tend to shy away from this literature. It seems so gloomy, strange, even violent. And of course, it has also just been terribly misused and abused by religious types over the years. Think Left Behind, or all the predictions of the end of the world that have been made and continue to be made, supposedly based on the Bible, and 100% of which have been wrong. And perhaps another reason I shy away from apocalyptic literature is that, well, basically my life is going okay now. Yes, I worry about my 86-year-old father, and I worry about an operating deficit in our current church budget that is not getting any better. And for good measure, I'll add in worries about the 2013 budget. And I carry on my heart a number of people and families in this church who are facing challenges, anxious times. But really, all in all, my life's okay. My wife and children seem to be feeling well, doing well. I continue to take great delight in our grandson. Last time I went fishing, I actually caught some fish. We have a warm house, food to eat, and usually light and heat. And so the dark images of apocalyptic just aren't speaking to me, at least not today. But there have been other times, other days, days when the sky did seem dark and the foundations of the earth were shaking, when all I knew and trusted in life seemed to be breaking apart. I think of the dark days when my mother and sister were in hospitals at the same time on opposite sides of Phoenix, both facing delicate and dangerous surgeries. Surgeries that held the darkness back for a while, but could not overcome it for either of them. I think of days when my other sister was fighting a battle with drug abuse and her own health challenges. I think of days when my aging father just kind of seems to be coming apart at the seams, worried about everything. And it isn't just about me. You hear our prayer concerns every Sunday. There are a number of people and families in this church who, when they hear Jesus in Luke speak of fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the earth, know exactly what he's talking about, who face dark nights with precious little light. And so we could say that apocalyptic is not only about the end of times, but often is very honest about our own human condition. We all know the darkness, know times when the hinges on the doors of our lives are coming off, situations for which there seems no humanly conceivable way out, habits and addictions that are quite literally killing us, dilemmas for which there seems no human answer, anxiety that paralyzes us, grief that brings us to our knees. We know times when the world seems to be falling apart and God is so far away. And then we come here to worship, first Sunday of Advent, and find ourselves face to face with this strange, sweeping, disturbing, cosmic, and also strangely hopeful vision of a new heaven and a new earth. Story shared by a pastor. After the devastating hurricane, all of the power had been out for the past 3 days. It was hot, humid, and miserable during the day, but it was frightening at night. Rumors were that there had been much looting. Robberies had taken place in our neighborhood. Again, no electricity, no way to call the overwhelmed police, no streetlights. Thus, when in the darkness, there was a pounding on our front door. We were initially filled with fear. Was this a robber? Was this a looter trying to find out if our home was empty? There was no way to call anyone for help. The knocking continued. We peered out the window, tried to make out the figure standing on our front porch. "Hey," a voice called out to us. "We've got a bag of ice for you. And some fresh water, too." It was our next door neighbors, our friends, who had come to bring us some wonderful and much needed gifts. He concludes, "As we peer into the darkness in fear, it makes all the difference in the world whose face we see." Well, could that be why we encounter this particular text on the first Sunday of Advent? Indeed, could that really be what Advent is all about? Here, at the darkest time of the year, we hear the Advent message that when we look out over the darkened and frightening and storm-filled horizon of our lives or of our world, we see looking back at us, indeed coming toward us, the face of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. When we wonder what tomorrow might bring, when we wonder if the storms of life will ever subside, when we ask who will bring light into our darkness, our text has an answer. Christ is coming to make all things new. Your redemption is drawing near. Story some of you have heard before. An old woman who lived deep in the bayous of Louisiana had raised over a dozen children, most of them adopted and or foster kids. A newspaper reporter heard about her, went out to interview her for a story. When he asked her why she had done this, why she had taken on such a daunting task, she replied simply, "I saw a new world a-coming." That's Advent. Christ is coming to make all things new. The message of our text is, people, dare to hope. Gene Nelson and all your anxiety about so many things, dare to hope. It's Advent. These texts about the end of things actually have nothing to do with chronology. They're not about when. They're about who. Who in the end is in charge? Who in the end will overcome? Whose promises in the end will be trustworthy and true? So our hope isn't based on wishful thinking or just a simple positive change in mental attitude. Our hope is grounded in the promises of God. Promises we celebrate and reiterate each week in our Sunday worship. During the famous Montgomery bus boycott, the story was told of an old black woman walking slowly down the street, refusing to ride on a segregated bus. Car pulled up. People inside called out, "Grandma, you're too old for this. You don't have to walk. Hop in. We'll give you a ride." But she refused, saying, "I'm not walking for myself. I'm walking for my children and my grandchildren." She might not have lived to see the promise of equality fulfilled, but she still believed in it and was willing to sacrifice to make it a new reality. Year after year, we come here. We light the first Advent candle. Year after year, we come and sing, O come, Emmanuel. Year after year, we speak of peace and goodwill among all people. And year after year, it doesn't happen. It seems we in our world continue to know the same pain, the same darkness, the longed-for perfection does not appear. But then I think of that old woman walking the hot, humid streets of Montgomery, Alabama. She believed the possibility. She believed the promise. She believed the hope. And that faith changed her. It actually transformed her present reality, indeed made her an agent of transformation. And her world did change. Your redemption is drawing near. How can this be, we ask? It can be because God is faithful to the promise of Jesus. It can be because we must never take our own projections, our own assumptions, our own fears and anxieties more seriously than God's promises. I'm not talking about pie in the sky dreaming today. I'm talking about real hope. I am talking about daring to live a new reality, daring to stand erect, confident, and hopeful, no matter how grim our present reality or whatever beclouds our unsettled future. Live in expectation. Prepare for God's kingdom breaking in on earth. And let that expectation and that preparation, let the promise call you into the future and shape your life in the present as we await the radical, earth-shattering welcome of the Prince of Peace, the tiny baby, and the risen Lord. Our redemption is drawing near. Let us pray.